And that's right back to the back. Back to the front. You will die when I say you must die. Back to the manipulation, people. We're on the third. The pattern. The beginning of the pattern. The power of number three making that pattern. All in the say to save your brain, to save your hijacked mind. So, part three. More than meets the eye. It is making people pay. It is holding people responsible. That's what I say. It is transforming businesses and holding them accountable for what it is that they're doing. Now, I've got a friend that's into marketing and advertising, and that's great. He's really good at what he does. But if we look at the advertising model and what it is and how it works and what it's based on, it is based on the exact same thing that the social media stuff is doing. And that is all about getting more of people's time on the product, on the screen, on the platform. And that is just as archaic as pushing coal into a fire and making the train go choo-choo-choo. Okay? Advertising is like the new coal. And it's wonderful for propping up the internet economy. It got us to a certain level of economic prosperity, if you would. And that's fantastic in certain ways. And it's also polluted the inner environment of the culture, the cultural environment and the political environment, because it's really enabled anyone to basically pay to get access to your mind. Okay? And on Facebook specifically, it allows the hyper-targeting of messages that perfectly persuade and polarize populations to the point where it can change the face of a election. And that's a very dangerous thing. Not the election, we don't care, but it also gives these companies a very big incentive to maximize how much it is, how much time they have over your life. It's my life. Not anymore. Take it back, though. We're taking the power back. So we have to get off of this business model, and we haven't actually invented the alternative yet. Because you've just been awoke, so you're not trying to figure out how to fix it yet. But we've come up with some ideas, but don't make it too late for y'all. So just like what happened with the coal and the fire and the train and like the wind power and the solar power of Elon Musk, if you went back in time, like I told you, you shouldn't do, always forward. Go back to 1950, okay, and said to everybody in 1950, we need to get off coal, bro. This shit's fucked. Good luck, because no one's going to fucking pay attention to you. You're going to be called crazy and probably get locked up or killed. If we didn't have any alternative, that would have gotten us near producing the amount of energy that we needed to support our entire, like, crazy society. The same thing with advertising. If you said, hey, we're going to get off of advertising, we're going on a diet, we're getting off advertising, we're getting off subscriptions, we're getting off micropayments, that all just doesn't even add up yet to getting us back to where we are with the advertising model. But just like what happened with all of these renewable energy technologies, we can get to that point with technology itself if we make those investments now, not when it's too late. And the background for this entire third point of transforming the business is the tech platforms, the Facebook, are only going to get more and more persuasive in their ways. If they're good now, they're even better. And if you don't know now, you know nothing later. But the no knows. And what I mean by this is that we are going to have more information about how Nick's mind works. No, we're not. We don't want to care about how Nick's mind works. We'll have more information on how your mind works. They say, and it's very true, that the collection of data upon a human being in today's society is over 10,000 points of data. Be it, I know you're a male, I know you're a she, he, or whatever the fuck. I know that you're this old, I know that you're this, I know that you like to eat this during this time of the month. I know that you order your tampons here. I know that you get your pocket pussy here. I know it has all these and collects all these points of data on you. 10,000 for each human being. And that's on a low end of things. And then they have this data. They know you better than you know yourself. I guarantee it. So the more information they collect, we're going to have to start scraping our profiles and what they post in to find keywords and topics, and that matters. Will show every time they collect that, that's how they directly relate it to what they're going to show you on the ads. So you're going to get to see advertising. The conscious mind doesn't know why it's there, and the subconscious mind picks that up because it was properly put there, and it is knowing that you want that. And you don't even know you want it. Maybe you just have to throw the little tomatoes on the floor and catch up, but it isn't working. They're ahead, so far ahead. Now, if you want, or you think of it like the only form of ethical persuasion, such as myself, of giving you what ethical persuasion that exists here in the world, would have to be the goals of the persuaders. The persuaders are aligned with the goals of the persuadees, which was not going to happen. But they would have the ultimate goal together. But that's not it. We would want those thousands of engineers on the other side of the screen working so hard to fuck us. That we would want them on our side. Imagine if they were on our side and we were all working together toward a unified view. Instead of them trying to keep us glued to the seat and throw crap in our brains. We would need a new business model altogether. And that is what we would have to erect as a build it and they shall come. Well, if you have something like you get a pretty good compelling argument if that being able to be a better targeted advertising way is to give people what they want instead of what it is that you're trying to sell them. Okay? If you give them what they want, is that better or is that bad? If an advertiser knows that you need running shoes, they offer a discount on running shoes. If the ad is incorrect, then you probably won't even bother seeing it. But if you get mad because they're advertising running shoes that you just went looking for the other day, and you said, hey, I need some running shoes, and here, lo and behold, here's your running shoe ads. Now, this isn't about getting the shoes that you want. Don't take that convenience as a convenience. They don't give a shit what kind of shoes that you want. They just know they're running shoes. And and what do? They say, I don't mind the advertising on the right-hand side of my articles on Facebook. And that's exactly right. The advertisements themselves are not the inherent issues. The problem is the advertising model itself. The unbounded desire for more of your time, kind of like the zombies in your brain. My brains. Okay. More of your time translates into more of your money. So you don't even have to try to get their money in the specific of in your face trying to get money. You just need their time. More of their time. Now, if we use an analogy like energy, which is a pretty good one, and it's very useful because the energy companies, GE, Electric, whatever, they used to have the same dynamic advertising model. I want you to use as much energy as possible, they say. Please just let the water run until there's no drain or a reservoir. Just keep the lights on until there's no energy left. Shut the fucking door. You're born in a barn. Shut the light off when you go out. Okay? The energy companies make more money and more energy for you to use. And that's a very fucked up relationship. Okay? And in many of the states here in the United States, we're going to change that model to decouple, if you will. I've liked that new word of decouple because, like, when you're pairing, like a Bluetooth or, you know, your COVID pairing, this is decoupling you. If you decouple, like, how much money energy companies make from how much energy you use, and I trust me, I know I've got 9 machines running around me right now. We need to do something like that for the attention economy people, because we can't afford to have a world of which we live in an arms race for not nuclear weapons, but for your fucking attention. Do I have that? Do I have your undivided attention? And of course, you know me, I'll put myself in a different reality when I get sick of this one. And so I move into my virtual world, my virtual reality. And do you think, why do you think fucking goddamn Facebook bought that? Oculus. Why? Because that's where the other reality is. That's where more attention is. So the metaverse is the metaverse attention. Okay? And the real message here in the virtual world, in the platforms that they're using, it just gives them more time to manipulate us. The real message that you have to look at is now is the time. Okay, now is the time. The wow now moment is the time. Time, time, everywhere time. Okay, to change. And change course, okay? Change the course. Don't stay the course. Right now, over, I don't know, 2 billion people's minds are already jacked, hijacked, and in automated systems of virtual reality. And their thoughts are being steered toward personalized paid advertising, subscription-based advertising, misinformation, conspiracy theories. And it's all automated by the owner's own system that they can't possibly monitor everything that's going on, and they can't control it themselves. This is not a philosophical conversation, people. This is an urgent concern that is happening right now, and you don't even know it. Don't even know it. And if we go back to that analogy of the energy companies in their regulated state of the government, which acts supposedly in the public interest, was able to say, now do this. That's not the case with the tech companies. So now, or how do you get to the point of which where they come together and make a set of decisions that limit the amount of attention that they're going to take? Sounds kind of fucked up. Well, I think that is what the conversation is that we need to have now. Because it might be too late. Is it going to come through the threat of an EU regulation, or will the companies get ahead of that and want to self-regulate themselves? Or will the AI take over and fuck, who knows what will happen? There are pros and cons to each of these different kinds of approaches or these different kinds of hijacking of the minds. So tomorrow you want Mark Zuckerberg to call up Bezos and the CEOs of all these big companies to get together and to say, okay, and do a bunch of K. And then they're going to say, we're going to tell all of our engineers that they need to think about what's best for the users, and we need to make a pact amongst ourselves, the rich elite, that we're going to do ABC, 1, 2, 3, XYZ. It's all three. It's a pattern. And of course, that's just one part of it. How many parts do you think there are? That's right. And that touches on all sorts of problems of having to do with colluding, okay? Because they're not doing that. They're doing it the other way. They're all colluding and excellent, Mr. Burns. We'll take over the world like we do every day. Okay, this is what's happening. We need to have a conversation about the misalignment of these between the businesses and the business models that's best for the people and get them on board. or we have to do it ourselves, which you guys don't like to do. We need a deep and honest conversation amongst the companies to do that are doing this harm and emerge out of it to take off the advertising train, kind of hit the brakes on it. And I'm here spending 3 hours of my life talking about this, so we're starting somewhere and doing it. Now, if you look at companies like Apple and Google and Facebook, they have all the money in the world, which they don't even need, but they're too big to fail. If they want to change their policies, that'd be great. Like, Twitter does it all the time to fuck you. You know, even the President of the United States gets kicked off Twitter. But not so much with Twitter, but Apple and Facebook and Google all the time. So you can imagine some kind of agreement that would become between the infinitely profitable mega companies not having the same financial success. They would have to join the pact. And that there exactly is, that's why it gets more complicated and why you can't control popular companies that are outside the attention that Apple and Facebook and Google left on the table, the little scraps. When they did their self-policing agreement, if you will, that's why it is that it has to be coordinated from an outside person or overseeing body. And there's only two ways that can happen. And one is through the regulation of it, which is unfortunate that we have to do this. Humans are not capable of not doing stupid shit like this. But it's something you definitely have to look at. The other one would be the opportunity here for Apple is that one company that could actually do it, because their business model does not rely on attention-based mind control, okay? And that's why the cult's slogan is based off of old Apple, and it's think differently, okay? Apple's was think different, but because their business model does not rely on that attention grab, they actually define the entire playing field on which everyone seeks the attention to play on it. They define all the rules. If you want to say it, they're like a government in a way. They get to set the rules for everybody else. They set the currency of for the competition, which is currently the attention and engagement. App stores rank things based on their success in numeric values of counting, of how many downloads or how much they get used. Imagine if we turn that around to, we're going to change the currency. We're going to flip the script. They could move it from the current paradigm it's in, the current race to the bottom, to creating a race to the top for what most helps people instead of hurts them with different parts of their lives in which they've been affected. And I think that Apple has an incredible opportunity to be able to do that, and it would be sad if they didn't. So you've partnered, or how would you say, paired with this app called, as I like to say, this is a moment. This is a moment, okay? Pair with a moment. And one of these things it does, this moment, it tells users how much time they've spent in each app on their phone. Okay? How many moments have I spent? Moment. And the moments go out and they moment. You've spent as many moments here and as many minutes there. Okay? So, if you have that app and then you have to rate that app for, you know, whatever they have the ratings for, how do you think that users would rate their satisfaction with each of the apps? And then people could, well, Apple could presumably take that data or create its own data. And at the end of the day, ask you as a person, how satisfied are you? Do you feel satisfied? Extremely satisfied? A little satisfied? Not satisfied at all? Blue balls? What? And if people are very satisfied, it could put that app at the top of the app store. Now, that's just one small thing that they could do. They could change the entire game. They could change what it means to win and lose in the App Store game. So then it wouldn't be about who gets the most downloads. Then you say, well, what else can they do? Well, who cares? What else can you do? Now that you're aware, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Now that you know, you're so woke, woke needs to get Wookiees doing something. Okay? Change the way they can do this. They can change the way they design the home screen of their goddamn operating system and notifications, how they work. They set the terms. Right now, when you wake up in the morning, it's like every app is still competing all at once for your attention. Netflix, Facebook, YouTube. Watch me. Do me. Do me. Me first. Your attention just as much as the stupid morning meditation apps that you're trying to think about nothing that you can't because Snapchat's going, you missed 8 hours of us. Catch up, catch up. You could put up in zoning lines or zoning laws in the attention in this attention city, if you will, and run the separate, they would run separately from your morning to your evening. From the ongoing moments of the screen time to, so when you wake up, you'd see a morning home screen in which things would compete to help you wake up. What kind of alarm tonal sound will do that? Right now, you don't have a way to set this model up. And there's no way for there to be a marketplace of alternative apps or alternative things because there is only two, and there is only one, really, because it's all just thinking you have a choice between Apple and like, which stores. Just set up zones, be in the non-friend zone with them. But unfortunately, there's no incentives for that, so no one's going to do it. The reason these companies want you to use everything all the time is so that they can serve you the maximum number of ads and get the most revenue out of you. And please their damn shareholders, but also so they can harvest the maximum amount of data from you so they can keep the maximum amount of attention. Now, to get away from the data conversation, to a conversation more about what the data itself enables, which is kind of more important than the data. We always can figure out what the data is. It's pretty simple. But what the data enables is the crazy part. What this enables is a psychological persuasion of your mind in ways that you wouldn't even ever know that they've been targeting you. So this is the world that we're already living in, and you don't know it. And this is the world that, again, ran away beyond the control of the engineers and the platforms, and we're out beyond. But data isn't the only thing that's used to persuade people. It's also used to help plan a travel route if you're going from to your buddy's house. The most efficiently, and get me from point A to point B more quickly, get their food along the way that they want. You know, that whole nine yards. You can use it for good things. It'd have to be used carefully and when I say carefully. Now, what is happening is you're not understanding the language of which I'm speaking. So therefore, we have to have a new language, a whole new conversation in a whole new language for the differences between what's ethical and unethical, and what those ethical and unethical persuasions are. We don't have a good language in English for the differences between the words manipulated versus direct versus seduce versus persuade. We throw around other words like, well, they refer to the same thing. We need formal definitions, okay, of what makes up a persuasive transaction. We live in a, if we're holding people responsible, we have to have clear laws of which that need to have been broken, and laws are very, have to be by certain words. And that you want, what makes up these persuasive transactions that you want in your life or don't want in your life, is something that is nefarious. It's very wrong. It's and we need it. We need the whole new language for it, which it just so happens we're taking the English language out of the existence of the humans, so it just might be coming. And we just might have already done something about it. But that is one of the things that we plan to do I do more podcasts is what it does, to make more people aware. And that'll happen over the next couple podcasts. This was three in a row, to brainwash you into not being brainwashed. And bringing you together, basically, the leading thinkers of on the problem itself, you know. We are thinking about the problem, how to fix it. Sometimes, you know, we just have to get it to define the externalities, if you will, the external things. That these costs, and the other part is defining what makes up for the ethical and unethical persuasion. And that's hard to define, so it's hard to do. Now, I've seen this data because I'm a computer guy, and I've seen what data is, what it looks like. And I wish I spent less time on Facebook, but I hear doing podcasts and putting it on Facebook because we have to reach you. I don't use Twitter pretty much, but definitely don't do Snapchat. I'm going to come up with an app to optimize it. You know, your phones, so you don't use it as much. But there's other ways to do this, and I'm sure that this data is transmitted to all the companies and all these other things that are made from, that I don't even know. You might not even know. We might not have insight into even some of the stuff. So it becomes more of a complex problem in humanity altogether, and we don't even understand it. So we need to think differently. We need to think of these services and these platforms as public infrastructure, and we need to be able to fund the solving of the problems of which we have, advance those thoughts. Let's say you're a New Yorker, how much of the taxes you pay go to paying for the actual police, subways, street repairs? How much goes to sanitation? There are a lot of taxes and resources that are allocated to keep the city working in a somewhat of a nice order, for the people to be more comfortable. They should be asking what's best for the people and doing it. In contrast, think about how little of these technology companies are spending on what's best for the people. They're not at all. If you think about the actual scale of Facebook or Meta, whatever they're calling it, Metanites, you're all a bunch of Metanites. If you think about the actual scale of Facebook, just to pick on them, yeah, a little bit. 2 billion people's minds they've hijacked, and more than the followers of the most of the religions in the world or the cults. That's a hell of a lot of people, not just 10 or 20, working on the misinformation problem like they did in some of the world wars. We need a lot more people working on the same problems, cyberbullying, radicalizing, guerrilla warfare type content, misinformation, and beyond this world that you'd never know. And we're fighting against people with unlimited amount of money. So you want to get more people aware of this, more eyes on it, more people looking at it. You want the companies to devote many more resources to identifying these problems, to being more transparent about these problems, admitting that there are these problems. You want a lot more effort to be put into the users having that have agency and being made aware of the ways they lack these things. That, yeah, it sounds weird for you to say that about a company, but how are you going to win a war when one of the most important weapons that's out there for fighting, it's the social media itself? So you would, to spread the word, you're going to have to use the social media, and you use this social media, which is the problem. In the, you see with the catch-22 here, people. How do you win that battle about disengaging from the main weapon that's used in the battle itself? It's a very, very interesting, because this speaks to a related problem, for which is the fact that these services, these subscription-based services, these monopolies that you see in the news, if they wanted to, without anyone even knowing, which they probably already do, they could turn me off, at least on the social media, okay? So they think, but they don't dare because they don't know who I am. They could make it so that no one reads this or listens to this podcast. But it'd eventually get out there because I talk to people. The anti-social media movement in which people who care